If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're watching a Highwire Media podcast. Hello and welcome to the True Crime Never Sleeps show. As always, I'm your host, Larry Leist. And on today's episode of Let's Talk, which, of course, if you don't know, airs on the last Friday of every other month, with the previous month being our series, Shit Out of Luck. But this week, we are answering the question, why true crime still captivates. Before we move on to our discussion, let me know your thoughts on this topic in the comments section below, and let me know if you have any other topics you want covered in future episodes, and we might be able to fit those in. And with that, let's dive into today's topic. Human beings have always been drawn to the macabre. From the earliest murder ballads to public executions that drew crowds in medieval square, true stories of crime and punishment have captured our attention. Today, that fascination has migrated to podcasts, documentaries, and Netflix docuseries. But the question remains, why? Why, despite decades of evolving media, do true crime stories still command millions of devoted followers? Why do ordinary people living safe and routine lives willingly immerse themselves in tales of violence, deceit, and death? At its core, true crime satisfies multiple human impulses simultaneously. It feeds curiosity about morality and justice, offers vicarious thrills, helps process fear in controlled environments, and allows us to empathize with both victims and investigators. The genre also reflects changing social values. Shifting from voyeuristic spectacle to psychological study and even advocacy for the wrongfully convicted. To understand why true crime captivates still, we must examine the intersection of human psychology, media evolution, and cultural meaning. Our fascination with true crime is not a modern anomaly. It is an extension of something deeply human, the instinct to study danger. Long before podcasts and documentaries, societies chronicled acts of violence in myths, folklore, and historical records. Ancient Greek tragedies dramatized murder within the family. In medieval Europe, public executions were moral theater, cautionary tales meant to reinforce order. The spectacle of punishment was both horrifying and reassuring, confirming that evil could be recognized and contained. Psychologically morbid curiosity serves a cervical function. Evolutionary psychologists suggest that studying threats, even from a distance, equips humans to recognize and avoid them. In prehistoric environments, understanding predatory behavior increased the odds of survival. In the modern world, that instinct translates to studying human predators. True crime stories, therefore, act as cognitive simulations. They allow us to experience danger, analyze it, and learn from it without physical risk. This evolutionary link explains why true crime content often triggers the same physiological response as horror, adrenaline, rapid heartbeat, and emotional arousal, yet remains irresistibly watchable. We lean in, not away, because our brains crave understanding. We want to know what went wrong, how did they get away with it, and could this happen to me? This episode is sponsored by NordVPN, the fastest, most reliable way to stay safe online. Let's be honest, the internet isn't exactly a safe neighborhood anymore. Between hackers, data leaks, and companies tracking everything you do online, protecting yourself is no longer an option. That's why I use NordVPN. NordVPN keeps your data encrypted and your identity private with next-generation security. So whether you're on public Wi-Fi, traveling, or working from home, your information stays yours. Think of it as your own digital security guard, always on duty. And with over 6,000 servers in 60-plus countries, you can connect anywhere in the world with a single click. Want to stream shows from another country or access websites that are blocked in your region? Easy. NordVPN makes it happen instantly. I use it personally when I'm researching true crime cases and need to access archived or international sources. keeps my work secure and my connection private. So here's the deal. Use the link in description today. And at checkout, get a huge discount on a 2-year plan plus 3 extra months free. That's 77% off a 2-year plan with 3 extra free months. It's a credible offer for complete digital protection. Don't wait until your data ends up in the wrong hands. Stay safe, stay private, and stay secure with NordVPN, because your digital life deserves protection. Now, let's get back to our episode. At a deeper level, the continued appeal of true crime lies in its paradoxical relationship with fear. Viewers and listeners are drawn to stories of real violence precisely because they provide safe proximity to danger. When we watch documentaries like Making a Murderer or The Staircase, we feel the chill of unpredictability while sitting comfortably in our living rooms. This balance between threat and safety creates a psychological sweet spot, a form of controlled fear. Neuroscientists describe this phenomenon as the amygdala response. The brain's emotional center reacts strongly to perceived danger. Yet when that danger is only symbolic, mediated through stories, the response becomes pleasurable rather than paralyzing. It's the same mechanism that makes roller coasters exciting, the illusion of risk without real peril. True crime enthusiasts experience a similar dopamine adrenaline cocktail as they process suspense, shock, and resolution. Moreover, true crime restores a sense of control in an uncertain world. Stories of murder and investigation often follow an implicit moral arc. Chaos followed by order, mystery followed by truth. Even when the case remains unsolved, engaging with them offers a psychological framework for making sense of chaos. By categorizing evil, we reduce its power. Consuming true crime thus becomes a ritual of mastery over fear, a way to confront mortality indirectly and still emerge safe. While sensationalism fuels some of the genre's appeal, empathy lies at the heart of modern true crime. Listeners and viewers often identify with victims, their families, and sometimes even investigators who pursue justice against all odds. Shows like The Keepers or When They See Us resonate because they transcend voyeurism. They challenge systemic injustice and amplify silenced voices. This moral dimension is crucial to the genre's evolution. Earlier eras emphasized punishment and spectacle. Consider 19th century pamphlets detailing the confessions of executed criminals. Today's audiences demand introspection and accountability. We no longer crave just the who and the how, but the why. What social failures allowed this to happen? How did bias, neglect, or corruption influence the outcome? Psychologically, true crime offers what cognitive scientists call moral calibration. By witnessing acts of evil, audiences reaffirm their own ethical boundaries. The very act of judging, I'd never do that, or that's wrong, strengthens moral identity, yet empathy complicates this clarity. Many true crime narratives humanize perpetrators, exploring mental illness, trauma, or social alienation. This tension between judgment and compassion creates a powerful narrative dynamic that keeps viewers intellectually and emotionally engaged. One of the most enduring reasons true crime captivates is its alignment with the logic of detection. The rise of forensic science, from fingerprinting to DNA analysis, transformed criminal investigation into a modern mythology of reason triumphing over chaos. Every fingerprint matched and every cold case solved reaffirms faith in technology and justice. Audiences relish this intellectual puzzle. Shows like Forensic Files and Cold Case Files appeal to our inner detectives. Solving crime stories activates the same neural circuits as problem-solving in real life. Pattern recognition, hypothesis testing, and deductive reasoning. When a mystery resolves, our brains release dopamine, rewarding us for understanding. This explains the satisfaction that accompanies a solved case, even when the subject matter is grim. Moreover, forensic breakthroughs restore faith in progress. In an era of uncertainty and misinformation, science-driven justice feels like a moral constant. The genre's obsession with evidence reflects broader cultural trust in rational inquiry. Every test tube and fingerprint scanner becomes a modern totem against chaos, reassuring us that truth, though delayed, remains discoverable. The endurance of true crime is inseparable from media innovation, Each technological leap, from printing presses to streaming platforms, has reshaped how society consumes crime stories. In the 19th century, sensational penny dreadfuls and serialized murder trials sold millions of papers. The 20th century gave rise to television reenactments and courtroom coverage.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at freestylelibre.us.
For prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
The 21st century democratized the genre through podcasts and YouTube, allowing anyone to become both storyteller and investigator. Podcasting in particular revolutionized the field. Serial's debut in 2014 transformed true crime from niche interest to cultural phenomenon. Its serialized narrative, intimate tone, and real-time investigation blurred the line between journalism and storytelling. Suddenly, listeners weren't just spectators. They were digital jurors, dissecting evidence and debating theories online. This participatory element deepened engagement and transformed true crime into an interactive community. Meanwhile, streaming services like Netflix expanded the genre visually. Series such as Don't Fuck with Cats and The Night Stalker combined cinematic production with investigative depth, elevating real crime to documentary art. Excuse me. The format's versatility, long-form, episodic, immersive, ensures the genre's adaptability to every new platform. As technology evolves, so does our access to dark. Or our access to darkness, I should say. An often overlooked element of true crime's popularity is its gendered audience. Studies consistently show that women make up the majority of true crime consumers. At first, this seems paradoxical. Why would those statistically most vulnerable to violence be drawn to stories about it? Yet this demographic pattern reveals the genre's deeper psychological function. For many women, true crime represents preparedness. Podcasts and documentaries provide information about how predators operate, while what warning signs to notice, and how victims were targeted. This transforms fear into strategy. Listeners often frame their interest as educational rather than voyeuristic, a modern form of self-defense through knowledge. As one fan once put it, I listen so I don't end up like them. There is also an emotional dimension. True crime communities, online forums, Reddit threads, Facebook groups often double as spaces for collective empathy. Victims are memorialized, family supported, and injustices spotlighted. The genre thus becomes both cathartic and empowering. Women reclaim narratives of vulnerability by dissecting them intellectually. In a world where violence often feels random, understanding its patterns offers psychological security. Yet, true crime's popularity raises difficult ethical questions. Where is the line between storytelling and exploitation? The same intimacy that captivates audiences can re-traumatize victims' families or distort public perception of justice. The explosion of amateur sleuthing, fueled by Reddit threads and YouTube channels, sometimes leads to real-world consequences, including harassment of innocent individuals. Ethicists argue that the difference lies in intent. Responsible creators prioritize empathy and accuracy. Exploitive ones sensationalize tragedy for entertainment. Documentaries like The Trials of Gabriel Fernandez handle horror with purpose, exposing systemic failure rather than fetishizing cruelty. By contrast, quick-turn YouTube murder recaps often reduce real suffering to clickbait. The sustainability of the genre depends on maintaining this moral distinction. Moreover, the ubiquity of true crime has blurred our relationship with reality. The 24-hour availability of murder narratives can desensitize audiences or distort perceptions of risk. Statistically, violent crime rates in many countries have fallen sharply since the 90s. Yet public fear often suggests the opposite. True crime, while illuminating, can amplify anxiety. The challenge moving forward is to balance awareness with sensitivity, to remember that behind every case file lies a human life. Excuse me. Contemporary true crime differs from its predecessors in one key respect: motivation. Earlier narratives fixated on the who and the how, but modern audiences crave the psychological why. Shows like Mindhunter or Conversations with the Killer, the Ted Bundy tapes, probe the inner workings of deviants. This shift mirrors a broader cultural fascination with psychology and neuroscience, an age obsessed with mapping the mind. The appeal here is intellectual as much as emotional. Understanding pathology gives chaos a shape. When viewers study a killer's childhood, trauma, or mental illness, they engage in moral cartography, tracing the boundaries between narrative, nurture, and choice. The genre becomes a mirror for introspection. What would I have done differently? What separates me from them? At the same time, this psychological turn democratizes expertise. Viewers adopt analytical frameworks once reserved for professionals. Profiling, behavioral patterns, motive theory. True crime thus functions as participatory criminology, inviting laypeople to think like detectives, psychologists, and jurors. This intellectual engagement, paired with an emotional intensity, ensures the genre's longevity. Excuse me. The internet has turned passive audiences into active participants. Crowdsourced investigations, from Reddit's Unsolved Mysteries to YouTube's Armchair Detectives, blur the line between viewer and investigator. This participatory culture transforms true crime into a collaborative experience, fueled by collective curiosity. In cases like the Cecil Hotel disappearance of Elisa Lam, online sleuths both aided and complicated real investigations, illustrating the double-edged nature of digital engagement. Community participation fulfills a social need. Humans are storytelling animals, but they are also pattern-seeking ones. Online forums replicate the village square, a space to process collective anxiety and share theories. Each new clue becomes a piece of a communal puzzle, and every solved mystery feels like a shared victory. Yet the same dynamics can spiral into misinformation or harassment, underscoring the importance of ethical engagement. The digital ecosystem also sustains the genre economically. Patreon models, YouTube monetization, and podcast sponsorships have transformed true crime into an industry. Independent creators now rival legacy media, bringing diverse perspectives and regional cases to global audiences. This decentralization ensures that true crime, far from fading, continues evolving in real time. So what does true crime say about us? Ultimately, the endurance of true crime reveals more about society than about crime itself. Each era's fascination mirrors its anxieties. In the Cold War period, espionage and conspiracy dominated. In the 90s, the focus on serial killers reflected fear of the stranger. Today, the emphasis on wrongful convictions, systemic bias, and institutional corruption reflects disillusionment with authority. True crime is a cultural seismograph registering the tremors beneath collective consciousness. It also serves as moral reassurance by externalizing evil, giving it a face, a motive, a narrative. We reaffirm our belief in order. Every killer caught, every mystery solved, becomes a symbolic restoration of justice. Even unsolved cases paradoxically sustain hope. They remind us that truth is still out there, waiting to be uncovered. In that sense, true crime is not just about darkness, but about light. The persistent human desire to know, understand, and make meaning from tragedy. True crime endures because it speaks to something elemental, our need to confront evil without succumbing to it. It merges fear with fascination, intellect with empathy, chaos with order. In an age of information overload, it offers structure, beginnings, middles, and sometimes even closure. Its stories remind us of life's fragility, but also of resilience, justice, and truth. As long as humans wrestle with morality, curiosity, mortality, the genre will remain relevant. Its mediums may evolve, from courtroom sketches to virtual reality, but its essence will not. True crime endures because it reflects us, our fears, our hopes, our capacity for empathy, and our hunger for understanding. We look into the darkness, not because we love it, but because we need to know where it ends. And with that, I want to hear your thoughts on why you think true crime still captivates in the comments section below. And let me know if you have any other topics you want me to cover. And if you want to support the channel, you can buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/TCNS. As always, thank you so much for watching and listening. We'll see you next time.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.